Let's pray as we begin. Lord, our hearts do hunger for you and what you alone can give. At times we have tried to cause those hunger pains to go away, to be placated with something else. But today we're coming before you trying to remove the facade, trying to remove the coverings and the things that we've used to push you away. And we're trying to say, Lord, we recognize our need for you. And we do want you. We hunger for you. And we invite you, Lord, by the power of your Spirit to make your truth known to us today, to make yourself known to us today. Lord, we ask you to remove the distractions from our minds and from the things around us. We ask you to draw us in and cause our focus to be on you. We invite you, Lord, to cause your word to be illuminated and to jump off the page and become a burning ember inside of us. Lord, we recognize that you and you alone are the rescuer, the Savior. And we turn towards you. We pray this all in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, welcome everybody and congratulations to Isla and Brooke and Eli Clark on the baptism of Isla. And congratulations on your successfully navigating the roads this morning. And may God bless you as you travel home back to the warmth of your living rooms. Today I want to talk to you about one of the titles of the Messiah. Jesus Christ is known by many names, and each one of them help us understand some aspect of his character and of his purpose. Help us understand what he did, what he accomplished, and who he is, and how he deserves our worship. Today, I want to focus on how Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Now, all the titles for Christ and all the things that the church communicates are easily misunderstood by the world. This title for Christ, the Prince of Peace, is sometimes a cause of people to criticize and even reject the teachings of the church. Because they hear us saying, Prince of Peace, Jesus comes to bring peace, and then they look at the world. They look at their society, they look at their communities, they look at their own families, and they look inside their own hearts, and they say, there's no peace. So the church is lying when they say that Christ came and brought peace. And so we, who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, need to be able to understand, what does it mean when the Bible calls Jesus the Prince of Peace? What kind of peace does he bring? How do we tap into that peace? How do we live in the midst of that peace? How do we share that peace? Jesus brings peace to each of us. How does he do it? In the account of the birth of Christ from the Gospel of Luke, one of the biographies written about the life of Christ, it tells us this in chapter 2, starting at verse 8. It talks about some heavenly messengers coming to give witness to what had just happened, how the birth of Christ had occurred, and now these angels were announcing it to people who needed to hear this message. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, it reads this way. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying this statement. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. That angelic proclamation rings out even still today. Glory to God in the highest heavens, because of what he has done. What he has done is bring about a pathway to peace. It says, glory to God in heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Those on whom God's favor rests. That's been interpreted a couple different ways. Some have said, well, that means all of the earth and all of humanity have been favored and blessed by God. God's favor has come upon them because of this event that has occurred in the birth of Christ, God taking on flesh. Others have said, no, it means that God's favor only rests on some. There's danger when we look at these types of verses and try to focus them too narrowly. The Christian message, the birth of Christ, the arrival of the Prince of Peace is for all the world. He wants all to experience his favor. He wants all to experience his love. He wants all to be graced and brought into an eternal relationship with him. God's favor rests upon all of his creation. But the unfortunate truth is that not all have received it. Not all have responded to it. On this first Christmas Eve, the angels had to show up and say, hey, shepherds, stop sleeping. Wake up. Recognize what's gone, what has happened, what has gone on, and then proclaim it to the people. After they traveled to Bethlehem, after the shepherds saw the Christ child, they went throughout the community announcing the news. But not all heard, not all responded. God's favor rests on the world. Does it rest on you? Have you received the Prince of Peace? Have you received him as Lord and Savior? Isaiah talks about this same truth in the title of Christ, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Isaiah is a prophet that lived 700 years before the arrival of Christ. God was speaking to Isaiah and then through Isaiah to announce good news to a people who were desperate for good news, to a people who had very little peace in their day-to-day existence, who were living under a time of oppression. Isaiah announces these truths to hurting people. To us, a child has been born. A son has been given. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David and for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Peace. Peace brought by the Prince of Peace for all of humanity, in particular for those who would respond to the message of Christ. See, we need help understanding the impact of the arrival of Christ. Because when Christ was born, and during his lifetime, and at his death, and even during his resurrection, and now throughout the ages of his people worshiping and following him, we've experienced a lack of peace. Wars, disasters, oppressions, family conflicts, personal anxieties seem to rule the day. But peace is possible. I encourage you to look with me to the book of Romans in your New Testament. Romans was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in the city of Rome. He hadn't got to see them yet, so he wrote a long letter to them explaining the truths about Christ in preparation of his arrival there to come. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, he explains a little bit about this peace that we so desperately need. Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 1, reads, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Now that was one sentence, but there was so much packed into that one sentence. The deep theological truths. Words that we don't usually use in our day-to-day conversations. In the previous chapters, he explained how we can be justified through faith. Justified means to have your sins and your debt and your guilt removed so that you can stand before God. When you're not justified, you are covered with the iniquity and the things that cause us to be repugnant to a holy God. There'll be no sin in heaven. And so a sin-covered person can never enter into God's presence. But God in His great mercy made it possible for you and for me, for us to be justified, and so it could become just as if we had never sinned. So that the holiness and the righteousness and the perfection of Christ, who died in our place, can now become ours. When we are justified, we have peace with God. See, before we're justified, God has to bring judgment upon that which is contrary to His perfection. Sin has to be punished. All sin has to and will be punished. The question is whether we pay that punishment ourselves or whether we let Christ absorb it for us. As you think about the Christ child, you also want to move forward in during His lifetime to as the time where He hung on the cross. And as He hung on the cross, He absorbed sin. And He cried out in despair, my God, why have You forsaken Me? That was the one instant in time when the Heavenly Father turned away from the Heavenly Son. Because at that moment in time, all of humanity's sin was placed on Christ. And in that instant, there was a separation as sin covered the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father turned away. There was a moment of seemingly separation. How awful that must have felt for Christ to feel that. He felt it for a moment. Because all of us would feel that for eternity if He didn't. All of us who are not justified, who have not been cleansed by the work of Christ, still have sin on our record and on our lives, on our hearts. And that sin causes a turning away of God the Father from us. And that would last forever if it were not for God making a way to remove it. And that's what happened on the cross. Christ was born. Christ came and took on flesh, lived among us, and then died in our place to take our sin and remove it from us forever. So that now when the Father looks at us, He sees the perfection of Christ. Imagine that. Picture that in your minds right now. God the Father looking down on you. Bright lights shining. Angels maybe looking over the Father's shoulder, joining in on this glance upon your life. Imagine what that would feel like. God the Father, all the heavenly hosts, looking at you. You think it's a bright light when you're on the operating table or maybe at the dentist having dental surgery where all the lights are on you and the people are looking. How much worse this would be. Have all the attention and focus of heaven on your life. The question would be at that moment, is there any contamination? Is there any sin? Is there any iniquity? Is there anything that when the light is turned on, you go, oh no, I don't want you to see that. I was hoping that that was buried deep enough. But now I'm exposed. I'm undone. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. But there's hope. There's the possibility of peace. Because the Prince of Peace came to bear sin in His own body. Not just His own sin, because there was none. Not just the sin of those who were standing around Him at that time, but the sin of all humanity. The sin of you, of me, of Isla, and every person that's ever existed. He came to carry that away forever. And He does that for those that say, God, I need Your help. I need peace because I can't find peace on my own. I need You to rescue me. See, the Scripture says, since you have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, into this favor in which we now stand. And we boast in this hope of the glory of God. God wants at Christmas for every person to receive the gift of peace, the gift of cleansing, the gift of removing, the gift of having contamination washed off forever, the gift of being made reconciled with God the Father. Have you received it? Is that a gift you've opened up at some point in time? Is that a gift that you've said, God, I need that. I want that. You see, peace, so often we think of it as just human existence and human experience. Peace of good weather, of working vehicles, peace of enough money in the bank account, peace of nations being able to get along or in-laws getting along. But God wants there to be a peace that starts with His work in our lives. We need to respond to that offer of God through prayer. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize You as the Prince of Peace. You as the one we need. You as the only one that can pay the debt of our sin. And so, Lord, we invite You to speak to us in a way that enables us now to respond in faith. Pour out Your gift of faith upon us. Pour out Your gift upon each and every one that we might say, Lord, rescue me. Lord, grab a hold of me. Lord, I need Your cleansing. Wash me, please. Remove the contamination. Make it be so that when the bright lights of heaven are shining on me, that all they can pick up and detect is Your perfection and Your holiness and Your righteousness. I invite You, Lord Jesus, to make me Your forever child. Be the Prince of Peace in my life. I pray in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen and amen.